another edition of the Loco Sports Lowdown Podcast. I am your host, Loco Sports founder Justin Jarrett, joined as always by my co-host and producer, Wes Kerr. And Wes, we got a lot of sports to talk about, but first of all, we're recording on Veterans Day, so we want to send a shout out to all the veterans out there, all the folks who have served and continue to serve our country. It's a much larger contribution to society than we're making here at Loco Sports, but we sure appreciate it, and hopefully this podcast will brighten your Veterans Day just a little bit as we get into it and talk high school football playoff action, as well as a state championship girls tennis team. We got part two of Wes's interview with Sports Illustrated writer Curry Kirkpatrick, and we've got cross country action, as well as a little bit of USCB soccer action and our teams of the week. So we got a lot to talk about today. Wes, it was a great night for high school football on Friday. We had a lot of great action, playoff games going on all over the area. You were out at Hilton Head Christian Academy where the Eagles kept on rolling. Tell us about HHCA and what you saw out there. The offense wasn't quite as dynamic this week, but they still got the job done.
Well, it was an interesting run-dominated game. I think it lasted a little over 2 hours. Greenwood possessed the ball for almost the entirety of the first half, mostly because Christian Academy scored so quickly and the Hawks nearly ran all their plays with runs. In fact, four different backs had five or more carries, but the Eagles were able to get enough fourth down stops to hold Greenwood to just one touchdown. Hayden Shinn didn't have a monster game, but he did what he had to, throwing a touchdown pass to J.P. Peduzzi. The Eagles relied on his legs late to kill the clock and move the ball down the field. Daniel Harrington with a couple touchdowns and option plays. There were some mistakes. Hayden Shinn did throw an interception early in the second half, and the Eagles committed some bonehead penalties. Three false starts in a row at one point. Not making that up. An intentional grounding on third down that led to a missed J.P. Peduzzi field goal, but the defense came through when they needed to, and a fourth and one stop late in Eagle territory in a one-possession game, and then Christian Academy shut the door with another touchdown. It was bend but don't break. The Eagles end up advancing.
All right, I'm joined with Coach Ron Peduzzi. Coach had to overcome some adversity tonight, get up an early score, a lot of penalties late, missing a late field goal. How are you able to respond?
Well, I thought we definitely didn't have our best stuff on either side of the ball, and even on the special teams. But, you know, good teams find a way to win. That's an old saying, that's an old coach's saying, and it's true. So that's exactly how we did. We just stayed with it and didn't give up, and we made it happen when we needed to. Gave the ball to number 23 down here, and he scored the touchdown that really helped seal the deal, and then we just hung in there.
It's a basketball saying, but it serves well. Survive and advance, and that's what you all did today.
That was Coach Valvano.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
Survive and advance. Doesn't matter how ugly, how pretty. Get it done, and that's what we did. So that's what we did, and we survived and we advanced, and we move on to the next round.
And Greenwood presented a really good rushing attack. How were you able to stop them?
I don't think we stopped them too good. We did stop them on that fourth down a couple times. We stayed low, but they were able to move the ball certain times and control the clock. There's no doubt about that. I don't think we had the ball more than 3 minutes the first half. So all we needed to make a couple stops. We knew we were going to be a threat on offense. We just didn't finish real good. And unfortunately, we left some points out there.
Hayden Shinn's just an electric quarterback. Couldn't be contained. How much of an impact is he in your game plan?
Well, Hayden is the number one guy in the game plan, being the quarterback. And he made a big throw and get us a first down. And then he came back and ran the option, which we're not an option team, but it's amazing what you need to do just to win in the playoffs, and we ran the option a couple times, and he did a good job there.
So it looks like you guys got Florence Christian next week. Initial thoughts?
They're going to be the same thing. They're going to be the ball control team. They're going to be very strong and large up front. They're going to try to, you know, control the line of scrimmage, obviously. We need to do what we need to do a lot better.
Coach Ron Peduzzi, thank you very much, and good luck next week. All right, I'm here with Hayden Shinn, the current Loco Sports Player of the Week for last week, and another fantastic performance in this playoff win. What do you have to say about your consistency being done week after week?
You know, from the last 10 games, despite this one, you know, We've always come out and we want to score every single drive, score every single play. This game, you know, we were a little bit rough off the start. We kind of had to keep hiccuping with the penalties and stuff. But we got to thank our defense for continued offense success. Meaning it's on both sides of the ball. We got ways to get the ball out to multiple different receivers. We got five guys that we think we can score every single play. And I got to thank my offensive line for sure. It's some great coaching.
Talk about your connection to JP Peduzzi.
Oh, my gosh. That man, I love that kid to death, man. He is such a reliable receiver. Great route running for a junior. I've never come to the school. I came here last year as a junior. And just a perfect route runner, guy with great hands, can go up and get the ball, and also reliable in third and long situations. Great kid to be able to throw the ball to, for sure.
How were you able to bounce back after that second half interception?
It's always about next play mentality. One thing that Coach Peduzzi says for sure is we always got to look for the next play. So he's always preaching. The coaching staff is just on me, like, let's just go out next play and work out and just keep going.
You are through the semifinals. How do you take this momentum into the next round?
We definitely just got to go back. The momentum of our strong defense, we want to take that and then put that into building offense a little bit more, preparing for Florence Christian. Or prep, I'm not really sure on the score yet, but we want to be able to play against either of those teams, and we think we'll be able to do it for sure.
Well, congratulations, Hayden Chin. Good luck.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, you know, they weren't as sharp as they've been, but I almost view that as a positive thing. I mean, you look at, the way they've played offense all year, they get away with a game where they really don't do much on offense and they still come away with an easy, convincing victory. That's a really good sign for them going forward here in the playoffs, that they've got a defense that can keep them in a game even if the offense isn't hitting on all cylinders.
They're going to have to play better next week, though.
Absolutely. They've got a really tough matchup next week with Florence Christian coming to town and defending state champs. And they've got a few losses on their resume this year, but they've also got some really impressive wins. And they got the job done against Hilton Head Prep last week. And you want to talk about a team that can run the ball. Greenwood like to run it, but Florence Christian, they do it just as much, and they're a little bit more effective. Marshall Brown is a monster.
Yeah, I think the defense lost that game for Prep, not the offense. Marshall Brown just took it over. Eagles kept just feeding him the hot hand. Disappointing the Dolphins, especially their defense. Normally you can't win giving up 47 points. Stone McDonald deserved better, but because he had a darn good year, tough to see it end that way.
Yep, so it'll be Florence Christian and Hilton Head Christian Academy in the Skeeza 2A semifinals. And going to the game that I was at this week, I was at May River once again, as they were taking on Swansea, and we weren't too sure what the Sharks would do going into the playoffs after coming off a big loss to Wade Hampton, but they were on all cylinders on Friday night. Donovan Ling rushing for 137 yards on just 9 carries with 2 touchdowns. Ahmad Green with another big game, 9 of 11 for 205 and 2 TDs, and 11 carries for 71 yards and 2 touchdowns. So May River looking really good on offense, and the defense getting the job done as well. They're starting to find the guys who can fill in for those injured players. But it is going to get really difficult on Friday night because they have to go up to Ainer, the number 2 team in the state, undefeated with a win over the defending state champion Dillon. And that is going to be a really tough test for the Sharks. If they can get by it, they may go all the way to the state championship game, but they're going to have a really tough challenge on Friday night on the road.
Yeah, this one was all about taking care of business, and they did just that, breaking the school record for points with 59. And winning this one with style points gives you all the momentum heading into this matchup with Ainer. It's going to be a heck of a game. Very excited to see what happens with that this Friday. But for May River this time, helps having the best player on the field, Ahmad Green, doing his thing. What an efficient performance in that game. It's tough to predict for defenses what he will do with the football. Great job on the ground as well by Donovan Ling. A big interception by Jonathan Gaston, setting up the Sharks at the short field and cashing in to extend the lead. Huge play by the defense.
Yeah, they played very well on both sides of the ball. That was definitely encouraging to see them bounce back. Coaching staff has their mindset in the right place. So, they'll be well prepared for Ainer, and I think that will be a competitive game. The other game we had in the area was Hilton Head Island High School hosting Wilson, and we knew that was going to be a tough matchup for the Seahawks, and they were unable to get the job done, but did put up a pretty good fight against the strong Wilson team. They hung in there, just couldn't quite slow down the Tigers, who just have so many weapons on offense.
Great battle by the Hilton Head Seahawks, losing 47-34. ended up being a close game. What a year by the 27-man Hilton Head High Seahawks. A great fight in region play to go 2-1 and make it to the playoffs, and bright futures for Gaston Moore. He got an offer from Cincinnati Christian, from what I saw, and Cole DeMarzo, future Michigan State commit. What an awesome end of the season by Will Frith, taking the opportunity and running with it. But as I said in the preview podcast, Sashawn Rice is quite the player and was indeed too much for the Hilton Head defense. The Gaston Moore fumble in the end zone was pretty much the game. Once Wilson got that far ahead, it was nearly impossible to outscore that team by so much and a half.
Will Frith, again, did a good job, but, you know, they did miss LaVarce Brown for sure. You know, his injury late in the season cost them. When you have so few players, you just can't survive too many injuries. But, you know, the big question, I think, for the Seahawks coming back next year is the leadership void left by this senior class. B.J. Payne was really high on the leadership qualities of the senior class, and, you know, that is so important when they graduate and move on, who steps up and takes that mantle, and I guess that's what we'll find out next fall.
Definitely leads a void. After the game, Payne tweeted and he said he was honored to coach this group 2020. You set a new bar. So we'll see if anyone emerges in terms of the underclassmen to take over the team next year, but it's definitely going to be different.
The good news for them is that they did have a JV program this season, which is part of why they had only 27 on the varsity roster. So they should be developing some players who can come up and help out on the varsity next year, and hopefully they can keep moving in the right direction.
For sure.
All right, moving on down the road. Everybody else, actually, Thomas Hayward was also at home, so we'll cover that one first. Thomas Hayward, 50-6 over Dylan Christian. Dylan Christian is definitely down this year. They've been a powerhouse, but they've fallen off a little bit. But nonetheless, that is a very impressive result. The Rebels definitely have it rolling going into the playoffs, and hopefully they can keep it going next week at PD Academy.
Yeah, Thomas Hayward, a great offensive line, outstanding running backs led by John Clark Tilton and Brzezapusha, and I think the game plan was pretty simple, just run it down the opposing throats. 300 rushing yards and 50 points later, they got it done. Defense nearly pitched a shutout until the end. Not easy to be that consistent in the playoffs. Well done in all phases by Thomas Hayward.
Yeah, Thomas Hayward looking good, but of course they've got a tough matchup, as we mentioned before, going up to PD Academy. PD came down to Thomas Hayward earlier in the season, September 20th, and the Rebels won 42-23. But that was a game where they were up big at halftime and kind of let PD get back in it. So, you know, the Eagles will have some confidence going into that. They've been red hot, been playing well, and that is going to be a battle to the final whistle, I think. All right, shifting back to 3A football, you had Battery Creek on the road at Strom Thurmond. And as we expected, Wes, that was a little bit lopsided. The Rebels come out on top 44-14. Dolphins, you know, I really had high hopes for them this season, and they just never really got it going. They had that three-game winning streak where it looked like they might turn the corner, and then just couldn't come up with another victory the rest of the way. But, you know, they'll send some guys on to the next level. Brandon Wilson going to go play at Georgia Southern, and they've got a lot of youth coming back. That offensive line is still young and growing, so hopefully they can turn it around and have a better season next year under Coach Walt Wilson.
As I thought, Battery Creek's offense completely shut down the first half, and even their pretty good defense was shut down by Strom Thurmond. At least they fought to the end and scored two late touchdowns, but Dolphins obviously not on the level of Strom.
Yeah, that was a tough matchup for them, and our other 3A team also with the tough one in the first round, Ridgeland-Hardeeville having to go up to Gilbert. The Indians are playing very well. They're on a mission, and they take down Ridgeland-Hardeeville 56-6. The Jaguars, again, kind of like Battery Creek. They had their moments. They had some talent, but they just couldn't put it all together and get the W's this year. Just coming up with two wins on the season. Their season ends with a 56-6 loss at Gilbert.
Yeah, no surprise here. Jai Tolan is a top-notch high school quarterback. Jamias Holloway did it through the air on the ground. A touchdown reception, a 60-yard scoring run. They are for sure state championship contenders in 3A. I would call them a top three team in that division.
Yeah, they're excellent. They're that lower state playoff bracket is going to be a lot of fun with Gilbert, Ainer, May River, Dillon. There's going to be some battles in these next couple of weeks. And then moving over to 2A, Whale Branch getting a little benefit from the Oceanside Collegiate ruling, at least for the first week. They get to go to Phillips Simmons. They beat them 36-10 after beating them 36-9 earlier in the season. And now they'll get that matchup with Oceanside Collegiate. That's the downside. But they will get it at home. Whale Branch gets to host next week. So that's going to be interesting. And pretty impressive performance for him against Philip Simmons. Without D'Aris Hazel, they were able to find some other guys to carry the rock and then got the job done.
Next man up. What a performance by the backup running back, especially Jalen Reeves, looking like a player of the week candidate going over the 200-yard mark in the playoffs. Adding big four players going over 50 yards rushing is insane. 438 rushing yards, all credit to the offensive line, winning the battle all night long. And the defense came to play. Great preparation by the Whale Branch coaching staff, only giving up five first downs. I guess you only can play it with special teams. You can't give up kickoff return plays, but you have to make teams work for their touchdowns in the playoffs. But other than that, what a game by Will Branch.
Yeah, totally dominant in the first round. Now it gets really tough, though, with Oceanside coming to town. They're undefeated, except for those forfeits that they were forced to take for the ineligible player. So that's going to be a tough one for the Warriors. But if they can get past it, they'll have some room to run and maybe make a deep run here in the playoffs.
It's going to be cool. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think we got through them all there. Wes, it was a great weekend of high school football. The playoffs are always so much fun.
And guess what?
What?
We didn't mention one team because you know why? They didn't have to play.
That's right. You're absolutely right. Buford High School got the week off, which is still bizarre to me that we don't have enough teams to fill out a playoff bracket. But Buford High gets the week off. That is a great break for them. They're able to get healthy. Their head coach, Bryce Lybrand, and their defensive coordinator were able to go up to Hartsville and scout out that game, Hartsville beating South Aiken. So they've seen their opponent, their current opponent. You know, sometimes you look at film from earlier in the season and guys are in different roles and stuff like that, and you can't get a great idea. But they were able to watch them Friday night in person and get a real good idea about what to expect next week. So I think that really benefits the Eagles as they try to move on here in the playoffs.
Going to be interesting to see what they do after that week off.
Absolutely. We're looking forward to it. We're going to go through one more thing before we take a break, and that is Hilton Head High Girls Tennis, your alma mater, Wes, with a dominant performance, winning the Class 4A state championship 5-1 over Greenville. And if you look at that roster, especially the class column in that roster, this looks like it has the potential to be a pretty nice dynasty.
Yeah, just one senior. That's it. One senior in the lineup. Three big wins and tiebreaks in this championship match. Emily Rookno, Haley Poplin, and the doubles team all won big tiebreakers. The doubles winning the third set break to clinch their match. But a couple clutch wins put the Seahawks over the top. Now, they lost to Greenville in 2016. And it's their first state championship title since 2012, which was the last one of the six straight. Must feel great for Jennifer Weidkamper. She was there when Hilton Head won that sixth straight title and kind of a championship drought, even though they've had some really good years. So it must be great for her to ascend once again to the championship after a couple years of falling short.
Yeah, I believe this is personally her third state championship. So she's had a nice run there. And yeah, funny you say championship drought, 7 years without a championship. Most programs should be so lucky, right?
Yeah, just those high expectations after winning six straight. It's like we should be winning a championship maybe once every 2 years or so. And all of a sudden you go a couple years without winning when it's like, come on, we got to win some. And finally for the Seahawks, they get back to that title. So we'll see where it goes from here. But it looks like it's going to be very, very tough for anyone to beat Hilton Head in the next 2-3 years.
Yeah, it was very impressive for them this season. But, you know, I'm a Cubs, Missouri Tigers, and Kansas City Chiefs fan, so I don't have a lot of sympathy for people who have to wait 7 years for a state championship. we've got some more tennis action going on there. The high school league singles tournament, the state singles tournament, is going on Monday and Tuesday. Emily Ruckno, who you mentioned, Sierra Zebra from Hilton Head High School also, and Phelan O'Keefe from Bluffton High School are in the 5A, 4A bracket. And then I believe May Rivers, Margaret Zinzian, is in the 3A, 2A bracket, although I have not seen that bracket yet, so I haven't confirmed it. But I'm pretty sure Margaret is in the bracket. So hopefully they will do well. We'll get them get an update on the website this week about their results. Hopefully we can maybe get a state singles champ out of it too. And Emily Ruckno, we're trying to line her up for the podcast for next week. So hopefully we can hear from her firsthand, the number one singles player on the Hilton Head High's team, and get an idea about what makes this team tick.
It's great. Looking forward to it.
Well, that's going to do it for the first part of the show. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with part two of Wes's interview with Sports Illustrated writer Curry Kirkpatrick. That's coming up next on the Locos Sports Lowdown podcast. Hey, folks, do you want people who love local sports to hear about your business? Then send us an email at locosports@gmail.com and let us know you want to sponsor the Locos Sports Lowdown podcast. We'll tell folks about your business, maybe give them a testimonial from our personal experience, and let them know to support the local businesses that support great local sports coverage. Thanks for sponsoring the Loco Sports Lowdown podcast.
Right, can you tell me a little bit about your visit with George H.W. Bush?
President Bush was such an active guy, and he was, you know, he was a golfer, he was a tennis player, he loved to sail, et cetera, et cetera. So it was my idea to, if we could get the contact, to spend a few days with President Bush on his off hours at Kennebunkport, which of course was the Eastern White House, his house in Maine. If we could spend a few days with him and I could write a story about his activities. It turns out that one of his advisors was a friend of mine that I knew from a long time ago. So I called him and suggested this story, and they were all for it. So we set up a meeting. It was in August of his, third year, I guess. I went to he said he wanted to meet me first before we did the story in August, before I came to Kennebunkport. He wanted to meet me and sort of talk about what the story was going to be about. So that, I got to go to the White House and meet President Bush. And we spoke it was set up that we were going to speak for, he was going to give me about 15 minutes in the Oval Office to talk about the story. Well, it turns out I had another friend who was an agent, a sports agent, and I was telling him that I was going to get to go to the Oval Office and speak to the president. Well, it turns out he was a collector of things, such as he collected Time magazine covers, and he collected old presidential artifacts. And it turned out he had the Yale yearbook of the year when President Bush graduated from Yale. So he had the Yale yearbook, and he said, would you mind taking this and a Time cover of the candidates for president that he had signed? He had them all sign this Time cover, except he hadn't gotten Bush to sign. So he said, would you take this cover, this Time magazine cover, and Bush's yearbook to your meeting with him and ask him if he would sign it? Well, I thought, this is ridiculous. I'll try that, but that's not going to interfere or break up my meeting with the president. So in the Oval Office, I started talking to President Bush, and it was during some serious times. He also that day was meeting with his defense secretary. He was meeting with an administration person from London. He had all these important people waiting, so I knew I wasn't going to get much time with him. So I sat there in the Oval Office, and we talked about the story. And he was so excited and interested in talking about sports. I got the feeling it was just, he just loved this opportunity to get away from the heavy parts of his day. He was just another fan. So he and I just were talking for 15 minutes about sports and how much he loved sports and who I knew and who I'd covered and who I wanted. I mean, it was like talking to a guy at a bar. It was not the President of the United States. And after a while, one of his advisors came in and said, Mr. President, that's it. That's the 15 minutes. We have to go to your next meeting. He just waved the guy off. He said, no. Give me some more time. I just want to talk to Curry here. So at that point, I thought, well, if he wants to do this, I'm going to show him these artifacts I brought for him to sign. And sure enough, he loved seeing this Time cover he signed in me. He loved seeing his yearbook. He went right to the sports teams in the yearbook and went to his baseball page, and there he is, a picture of him and all his teammates. And he proceeded to tell me where all his teammates on his baseball team at Yale were now, were in the present day. And he spent like 10, 15 minutes doing that. So I'm wondering, well, this is amazing. He's taking all this time. Then he took me outside to where the pool was. This is the back of the White House, where at the back of the Oval Office, where nobody gets to see. There's no cameras or anything there, so nobody sees this. And the pool is out there. And he told me he had set up a horseshoe pit, two horseshoe pits, where he could throw shoes back and forth. And he told me when he always had people at the Oval Office, he'd invite them when he had time, he'd invite them out there to throw horseshoes. And so we didn't have time to do that, but he told me a story about Arnold Schwarzenegger. When Schwarzenegger visited the White House, he told me, see, Arnold can't even throw a horseshoe. He threw his first shoe, and he threw it into the glass that covers the swimming pool and broke the window. So he made this appointment in August for me to go to Kennebunkport when President Bush was on vacation. So it turned out that there were wars going on all over the world, and President Bush had to postpone his vacation. He couldn't go that August. So, of course, my date with him was canceled. So I thought, well, this is terrible. You know, I'm never going to get to do this story. Well, it turned out the next year, the next August, he cleared his calendar for me to come up and do the story that had been postponed a whole year. Now, remember, I had been in the Oval Office a year previous, and that's the only time I'd seen him, so I hadn't seen him since. So luckily, we had it rescheduled, and I went up and did spend 3 or 4 days at Kennebunkport with President Bush, playing golf, playing tennis, throwing horseshoes, and the whole deal. And his wife, Barbara, was up there, of course, with him. His mother was still alive. She came to watch us play tennis. I played doubles with President Bush against his press secretary, Fitzmaurice, and a ringer they brought in from the White House, who is a really good player. And so President Bush and I were partners. And I was so nervous, I could barely hit a ball as we started, of course, because I'm playing the President of the United States. And he kept calling out to me and you know, encouraging me, and I encouraged him. And I remember early in the match, I had a easy overhead, and it was so easy, and I went back and I totally muffed the shot. I totally blew the shot, missed the ball and everything, which unfortunately the Sports Illustrated photographer got a picture of. And Bush said, just shake it off, and we continued to play. And we lost a close match. Actually, we lost two close sets, but it was great fun playing with him. The way he played golf, he goes so fast, he just hits the ball, gets in the cart, and goes the next shot, never done practice swings. So he plays 18 holes in about an hour and a half because he wants to use it as exercise. And we shot horseshoes and just had a great time. And I wrote a story, and it appeared on the magazine. But here's another part of the story. This, again, was in August. And, of course, it was understood that Bush was going to be on the cover. I mean, he was going to be a cover. It was never guaranteed, but that's the arrangement we had, that Bush understood that him playing sports was going to be on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Well, it turned out I wrote the story. I flew home to Hilton Head here, and on a Sunday afternoon, the magazine called me and said, the Bush cover has been canceled because of John Daly winning the PGA tournament. John Daly, as you might remember, was this kind of hick from Arkansas who came out of nowhere and won the PGA that Sunday. Well, I was stunned and shocked that they would put John Daly on the cover rather than the President of the United States. But that's the way it happened. And, of course, I have the cover that never appeared. It's not just a collector's item because no collector has it. So I'm probably the only person that has the cover of President Bush on Sports Illustrated.
Interesting. I wanted to know who you thought was the most impactful tennis player of all time.
Impactful, probably Billie Jean King. because she, you know, she kind of invented women's tennis, got the women money to play, and still active in the sport, and still a terrific promoter of tennis and women's tennis in particular. So I think she was the most impactful. The favorite, I started doing tennis in the latter years of Rod Laver and Ken Rosewall. I mean, the Australian dominance. I wouldn't call them impactful, but certainly Laver was one of the great players of all time. If there had been, you know, there went for a time when pros were not allowed to play the Grand Slams, and I think it was 6 or 7 years he could not play between his Grand Slam winning. So I think he probably, given those years back, he would have the record for most Grand Slam wins over Federer. I was kind of between Laver and Federer. I covered people like Bjorn Borg and Pete Sampras and McEnroe and Connors and people like that, and Boris Becker. Boris Becker was one of my favorite athletes, not just tennis players, to cover, because I always say I think character shows the most in athletes when they lose. And of all the athletes I ever covered, the best player after a loss, both individual and team sports, was Boris Becker. He could pay tribute to, you know, his conquer the winner, and he was never he never made excuses. And I just think he was had great character, and as I say, was the best after a loss that I ever knew.
I wanted to know what your favorite Grand Slam championship match was in tennis.
Oh, wow. Well, actually it would be a semifinal, not a final. And it was in the late 70s. And Bjorn Borg, who was to win Wimbledon 5 years in a row, it was maybe his third or fourth year, he played a great semifinal match against Vitas Gerulaitis. And Gerulaitis is maybe not remembered so much these days, but he was one of the really best players of that era. And he never really won a Grand Slam, but he played this unbelievable semifinal match against Bjorn Borg, and they were both probably the two most athletic, fastest players on the tour at that time. They were great friends, and Gerulaitis was a New Yorker, an American, and he came within a hairbreadth of beating Borg in that match. I remember it went almost into dark, and five sets of incredible sprinting and returning and even serving, and it was just a great match. And Borg, of course, won the match, and then he went on to win the championship. But that probably was as good a match as I remember seeing.
All right, and we are back. Always great to listen to a fellow writer talk craft. And Curry Kirkpatrick has been through a lot in his career, seen a lot of stuff. So great to hear his insights. And love listening to you interview folks, Wes. You do a great job.
Thank you. He's really been through many different exciting points in his life. And he's filled out a bunch of great information about what it takes to be a successful writer, and learned a lot of stuff from it.
Yeah, awesome. Well, another one of your passions, of course, is cross country. You were a cross country runner back in high school, and
sure.
I'm sure you were proud this season to see, or this past weekend to see, what your old Seahawks did. Even though Bill Wrightson has retired and moved on, they are still getting it done on the cross country course. The boys and the girls both just dominating to win the lower state titles. They're both going to go on to the state championships, and Buford High with some really impressive individual performances. They don't quite have the depth to compete with the Seahawks in the team score, but the boys' side, Buford went 1-2-3 across the line, and then they also had the individual champion on the girls' side with Shannon Smith. So, Wes, what do you make of this this Class 4A cross country? The low country, where there are no hills to run on, seems to be dominating here.
Very captivating. A lot of great runners in that meet. So Buford went 1-2-3. But then after that, they went 30 and 51. So they just didn't have the depth. Meanwhile, Hilton Head goes 7, 8, 11, 12, and 16. And so it pays to have a lot of more players who can score good finishes based on like having one or two really good guys and then having the rest being not so good. So Hilton Head was able to have the better depth in winning this one. Jasper Reinhart, Will Lemire leading the Seahawks 17-28, 17-33 respectively. Eduardo Gonzalez Ramos, Caden Thurn, Kyle Martin, and Josie Rondon all finished in the top 25. And Bluffton, some notable names, Nicholas Cunningham, Peyton Decker, and Charles Deaton placing in the top 40 under 19 minutes, and they qualify as individuals for the state meet.
Yeah, the three Buford runners, we both mentioned they went 1-2-3, but didn't say their names. Nash Mills, the champion in 1642, Maxwell Davis and Marlon Belden right behind him. So they've got the makings of a really dominant squad there if they can find a couple more runners, but just don't have the depth right now. The Seahawks, as you mentioned, went 7-8-11-12-16, and that's going to get the job done every time. They won it by They finished with 54 points, AC Flora second in 85, and then Buford third in 87. So very strong performance by the Buford County runners. And over on the girls' side, once again, dominant performance overall by the Seahawks, but Shannon Smith from Buford, the individual champion with a 19:29 5K, very nice. Seahawks finished with 42 points. Their top five runners were all in the top 18. So very strong performance by them. Buford finishes third, Bluffton eighth, both of them qualifying for the state meet. Then Sarah Neville and Cynthia Goditis coming in strong as well. Second and third for the Seahawks, both breaking the 20-minute mark. Sarah Cook also in the top 10, Reagan Gilman 12th, and Amanda Magnan 18th. So very strong performance by the Seahawks. Anna Brown from Buford finishing ninth, and then Bluffton's Ava Gershutz and Caitlin McDonough coming in 13th and 14th. So once again, Buford County looking good out there on the cross country course. All the folks we mentioned will be advancing to the state meet next Saturday in Camden. And same for the Class 3A runners, and May River looking good as well. On the boys' side, they dominate. Well, not dominate, I guess, but a strong performance. They win the team title with 42 points, edged Bishop England by 7. Owen Andrews, the individual champ for May River in 16:55, winning by just 3 seconds, which is that's a fun finish. You don't always get one that close in a 5K.
That's some drama.
Yeah, that's pretty good. And then their next four runners also in the top 13 in under 18 minutes. So very strong for the boys. The girls for the Sharks ran second to Waccamaw, which was amazing.
Just 27 points. And all seven of the runners finished in the top 15. That's near perfection. I mean, you can't do much better. They got a heck of a job churning out those runners.
I mean, yeah, 15 is the lowest score you can get. Right. That's unreal. Emma Peluso leading the way for May Rivers girls with a fourth place finish in 2011. Grayson Drury 11th in 21:43. So, you know, what's always interesting to me is to watch the times at the lower state meet where you just have to finish in the, you know, top nine as a team to advance on. And the result really doesn't matter. And then see what happens the next week at the state championship and see who was holding back and saving it for next week. That's going to be interesting to see on Saturday.
For sure. I mean, obviously, the goal is to peak at the last meet, and we'll see who will be able to do it and who won't.
Absolutely. So lots of great cross country going on. We're going to talk a little bit of USCB real quick. USCB soccer team with two All-Sun Conference players, Anna Ginlat, which I only know because I used to work at USCB in sports information. Anna is a senior forward from Mount Pleasant. She broke three school records this season. 15 goals, 32 points, and 4 game-winning goals. She's second all-time at USCB for goals, points, and shots in a career, and had just an outstanding senior season. It's hard for me to believe that Anna's already a senior because I remember when she came in as a freshman and I was working there, and it seems like not that long ago. And a freshman, Lexi Kaiser, named honorable mention All-Sun Conference. So they had a little bit of a tough year, had some close results go against them, and ended up missing the Sun Conference tournament, but I think they're headed in the right direction. They've stayed steady over the years, and maybe they can bring in some recruiting class that will help them get over the top in a really tough conference.
They're definitely on the right track, and who knows, maybe they'll be there in a couple of years competing for a championship.
All right, Wes. Well, we haven't had as much to talk about this week as the fall sports start to dwindle down and basketball hasn't yet started, but it's time to wrap this thing up with our teams of the week. And we picked two of them once again, and once again, it's been very easy to choose these so far. At some point, we will not have state championships to make these decisions for us. But our first one is the Hilton Head High girls tennis team, the state champs. And Wes, we've talked about them at great length already, but what a performance, what a team.
Yeah, just makings of a dynasty part two, kind of like the Patriots had one in the 2000s, and then they had another one right now. So we'll see if they can kind of turn that into a couple title wins. Only one senior, a lot to look forward to if you're a Hilton Head Seahawks girls tennis fan.
Yeah, and then our other team of the week is going to be May River Boys Cross Country. May River won two state championships in the spring. It was boys soccer and boys track and field. And, of course, all those distance runners who run track and field are running cross country, and they're running strong. The Sharks are looking good on the cross country course. Hopefully they can bring home a state championship next week, and we'll have to make them the team of the week once again.
Yeah, pressure's on them to repeat their performance from last week. Sometimes difficult to do it two times in a row, but I think my money's with them.
Yeah, I think so as well. And once again, if you'd like to sponsor the team of the week, that's one of the sponsorships we have available on the Loco Sports Lowdown podcast. All the sponsorship dollars will help us keep this thing going, keep covering local sports so that you can keep up with all the area teams and celebrate the successes of our teams and athletes. That's the mission of Loco Sports, and we try to strive for that every week. So that's going to do it for this week's episode of the Loco Sports Lowdown podcast. I'm Justin Jarrett. He's Wes Kerr. We enjoyed it. Hope you did too, and we'll see you next week.